the 2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back and go!
Welcome to Walk It Off. It is officially opening week. Baseball is back. We've had games. We've had home runs. We've had grand slams. We've had diving plays. We've already had Stephen Piscotty get hit 3 times in one game. So it's been a really eventful week, but I'm Danny Wexelman. I'm with Gemma Kaneko, Ashley Chavez. Guys, first of all, I want to know, what are your favorite, do you have any favorite opening day memories?
Good question.
Anything that sticks out? Opening week?
I don't have any specific opening day memories that I can think of now, but it's just like the feeling. I mean, it's like the first day of fall and then opening day. Those are the two best days every single year. So I don't know. It's just like the smells and the foods and the yelling and screaming, and it's just all wonderful.
Gemma?
Yeah, the first day of baseball season is so good because it's so full of promise. Like, anything could happen, and also it's about to get really warm, and it's going to just be months of warm weather in baseball. Makes me so happy. I've actually never gone to a park on opening day. I just haven't. I mean, wherever I mean, because I've only ever lived in Michigan and New York, and, you know, the weather is not always the most friendly. So even if I have had plans to do it, it's usually been like, oh, well, it's actually freezing fog. So never mind.
I've only been to one. It wasn't very memorable. I'm not going to lie. I mean, opening day, I think it's more than the game. I think the game is really the insignificant part. Like you said, Ash, it's the smell of the fresh cut grass and the hot dogs that you haven't smelled in a while. And, you know, sitting in the bleacher seats. But it's kind of like school in the fact that everyone has a 4-0, right? It's kind of how I think about it. I think that you guys this week has been, I think it's been chart topping. And we've seen all the regular guys do what they're supposed to be doing. And we've seen some gems kind of stand out too already. But we're not starting this week on baseball. We are going to start in the National Football League, because there's some big news.
Even in, when it's opening day, football finds a way.
We're going to get back to it. So Tony Romo has been the talk all offseason in football. What's he going to do? Where's he going to go? Jerry Jones, you know, he's kicking his heels. So he's hanging up his helmet for a broadcast gig. He's heading to CBS Sports. He's replacing Phil Simms for the A-team. It's a pretty big deal. So he retired. Jerry Jones released him, and now he's heading to maybe greener pastures. I don't know. But Trender Trash, Tony Romo giving up football because there's an opportunity he can't miss in a job that he's never done before in broadcast.
I trend this because I think it's good to know when to let go. That's how I feel.
Can you
about
elaborate
that.
On that?
Yeah.
Well, look. I mean, nobody likes to see anybody's reanimated corpse shambling around on a football field. Nobody does. And we, you know, sometimes when guys play past the point where they really should be, it just makes us sad and not excited. And I think that Tony Romo has spent way too much of his career being labeled like the guy who just couldn't do it, right? So, you know, go good for you. Go broadcast. Go do something else. That's how I feel about
Ash.
That.
Yeah, I mean, I trend this 100%. I'm so excited to not be the person I thought would for sure die on the field. So this is wonderful. Also, like, the ultimate goal these days, if you want to keep your career going and keep this lifestyle up, you got to get into broadcasting. And he just went in the best way with no experience and getting such a high-level job with them. It's truly remarkable. He's living the American dream right now, and it's fantastic. So I applaud him. I can't wait to hear, like, because, I mean, we have no idea what he's like on television, so I can't wait to see what he's like. I'm so excited for him. He's doing everything right now. And I'm just so happy he's never going to play a game of baseball again. Or football, sorry. I'm so, so happy for him.
Okay, I'm in the middle. I'm trending and trashing, and I'm pulling that card today.
Lame.
So I know.
I don't think that's allowed.
I know it's
not. Yeah, you're breaking the rules.
I'm breaking the rules today.
Ejected.
I'm trending because I think that his health is a huge concern, and he has children. He has a family. We've seen all the repercussions of CTE and what it does to people and your mind and whatnot. So I'm trending in that sense. Like, take care of yourself if you're concerned about your health. But I'm trashing the fact that he is heading into a broadcast booth with zero, not even like an off season, like a postseason, a nothing, an absolute zero. He's replacing a guy who's been there for a decade doing color. Maybe they wanted him out, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
That's a pretty heavy move by CBS.
That is true. It's a weird thing that they're doing right now.
Yeah. So I get it. You got the guy. But Tony Romo, you better bring you better be QB1. You better bring your A game, because you better give me insight. You better give me what's going on in that quarterback's head. You better give me things that no one else can give me. You better bring me something that Phil Simms didn't bring me. Otherwise, A of all, I'm probably not watching anyway, but, like, again, what are we doing here? Why are we bringing this guy in if you're not going to step it up and do something that guy wasn't doing? Or the guy who was on the B team, the broadcast B team, he didn't get to come up. He got stopped because Tony Romo is an insider, right? He played the game.
Yeah.
Maybe the other guy didn't play the game. I get it. That's where broadcast is going. In my experience, I think it's tough to be replaced by someone like that. So, Tony Romo, you better bring it, man. That's all I have to say. You know, Sports Center had a really interesting article about the other Tony Romos in sports. A couple of the names I want to bring up to you guys. Justin Verlander, could be. Ryan Braun, could be. Charles Barkley. So it was an interesting list, though. They were talking about guys who, you know, maybe...
Dated celebrities? Is that what that's about?
No, careers. Careers. Yeah, that too. Careers that are cut short. And then maybe they head to the booth.
Was Justin Verlander's career cut short? Because as far as I know, it was not. And in fact, he had an amazing start yesterday and was second place for Cy Young last year and probably should have won him.
I think Charles Barkley is the best thing we've ever received from any sport or anything from God. I just love Charles Barkley so much. So if Tony Romo can somehow, which is impossible, be even a sliver of Charles Barkley, I will be very happy.
Obviously, Justin Verlander is he's still got
a star.
It. He's still his game. No one's doubting that. His name's, I didn't write the article. I just like to point that out. But, you know, I think that he would be good in the booth. I would definitely, I think he has personality. He has a little sass. He's always been one to speak up on social media about pretty big issues in the game, right? So he's not one to shy away from maybe hot takes or a different opinion. So I think he would be good in the booth. Just to let you know, when his career is finished, when he chooses, hopefully injury or lack of being great won't get him there any faster. Okay, we're going to move on before Jim McCaskey. Okay, now back to baseball. This has kind of been a topic, I think, this week. Very interesting. Anthony Kastrovitz had an article on Sports on Earth about opening day being 2 days. It's not, you know, we say opening day, but really it's opening day. So we had 3 games on Sunday, 11 games on Monday, and then we had one little White Sox-Tigers game that got rained out, pushed to Tuesday. So the full opening day was actually over 3 days. We didn't get the full slate. It got broken up. I mean, obviously those 3 days were amazing. They were jam-packed with everything, but trend or trash, opening day being more than 1 day. Ashley?
I'm going to my traditionalist side, and I'm going to trash it. I love that it starts on Monday. That's the best. Kids are missing school. Like, I mean, that's what you look forward to when you're a kid, and then now some games are starting on Sunday. I don't like that. I like it all, like, the first day of March Madness, just craziness, watching baseball all day on a Monday, starting with the Reds. I don't know. I love that tradition. I don't see why it needs to change, so I think it's silly.
That was concise, Ash. I really appreciate that answer.
Is that the fastest answer?
Yeah.
I'm all shocked with myself right now. Like, yeah. I had it all planned out.
That was
great.
Gemma.
I'm prepared.
Since you decided that you were allowed to both trash and trend something, I will also do this. Because I don't like that it was so spread out. I like the Sunday night baseball game. I like one game on Sunday night. Like my colleague at Cut 4, Mike Claire, put it. It's like when you get to open one present on Christmas Eve, and then you have to wait the next day for all the other presents. And I like that, because then you do get like a little taste. You're like, oh, I'm so excited. And then the next day, you just totally, it's a buffet. and you just totally go for it. I do like the Reds starting first. I like that tradition on the Monday of opening day. That is interesting, important. So the 3 days, the opening night that was really opening afternoon was, you know, it was a little bit too drawn out for me. I would have preferred it one game on Sunday and the rest on Monday. Rain delay, I can't really help it, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that thought. I love the last day of the season where all the games start at the same time.
And it's insane.
Right, it's madness. And I think I kind of like the idea of starting the season the same way. I'm with you, Ash. I think the 2 days is tough. I'm more like, I like the tradition. I like, you know, all the things that you said. And I don't know. It didn't fall short.
Definitely not.
It didn't fall short, but yeah. I think one day, let's just kick it off one day, and then we'll make moves. That was easy. I that's really surprising that we got through that. Some of the things I wanted to highlight, by the way, from these past couple of days are the defense that we've been seeing: Byron Buxton, Manny Machado, Cole Calhoun, JBJ, and then obviously the offense with Jock Peterson's grand slam, Mike Trout, and Bryce Harper doing Trout and Harper type things, right? The bats have been great. Edwin Encarnacion in Cleveland, you know, really giving his team. Yeah. Danny Espinoza just hit the go-ahead home run last night. Andrew Benintendi, I mean, rookie of the year and MVP. I'm not sure if the kid can do it both.
Oh, wow. Rena is here. That's so interesting. Here? Speaking through Danny's voice.
Producer Rena is suggesting that Andrew Benintendi deserves this. But really quick, Ash, I want to get your thoughts on Mad Bum's two home run night, overshadowed by Chris Owings' walk off for the D-backs.
Here's the thing. It's not overshadowed. They go hand in hand. That walk off was only important because Madison Bumgarner hit those two home runs and basically did everything for himself that day. So I think it's fine. It's an interesting way to open up the season. With everyone's worries still intact, you know, with our bullpen and stuff as far as Giants fans go, I'm not worried about it. I think it's fine. It's game one. Who cares? This is almost a meaningless game, but it's not. You know what I mean? It's a long season. These new guys in the bullpen will get it together, like, chill. But I did think it was quite an eventful opening day, so I did enjoy it. You know, I, of course, wanted to win, but seeing those two home runs, it's just like, get out of here, dude. You can't do this. You cannot play baseball like this. That's crazy.
I want to see him hit two home runs while riding a horse next.
I mean, I think he can do it. I seriously think he is going for 15 home runs this year, and I also seriously think he can do it. So, man, I'm excited for the season.
Can't wait. So we're going to talk about golf. We don't talk about golf very often on our podcast, so it's time to talk about it because we have a case of the tattletales, which I never thought I would say on this podcast either. We talked about Tinder like 2 weeks ago, and now we're talking about tattletales. So Lexi Thompson, on her way to winning her second major, basically lost because a viewer calls in and says, hey, she misplaced her ball. They go to review it, but what had already happened is she turned in her scorecard. So she got a two-stroke penalty for misplacing her ball, and then a two-stroke penalty for turning in a wrong scorecard. So her four-stroke lead disappeared, and then basically she lost. Cost her the tournament. So we got an anonymous guy calling in, you know, Joe Smith, who's chilling in his backyard. Hey, you know, I mean, this is ridiculous. This is unbelievable, in my opinion. So, Tinder Trash, should a viewer be able to call in, should this rule exist, and say, hey, so-and-so did this or so-and-so did that, go back to replay review, change whatever has happened, reverse it, and then let them play on. I didn't explain that very well, that Tinder Trash, but
no, you did.
Should a viewer be able to affect an outcome of a professional sporting event?
No, that's trash. That's 100% trash. Like, are you an official? No, you're just some dude. Presumably. I assume it was a dude. I assume because what dudes would do that? that's what would happen. Like, oh, excuse me, but I was watching golf and actually I saw this. Like, no, shh. Do you work for the PGA? No, you don't. You have nothing to do with any of this. You just need to step away. Like, if you are not an official, what you have to say about what happens in a professional sporting event should not matter to anyone at all. If you want to tweet about it, I don't care what you do. No one cares about your tweets. Like, it's fine. But I can't believe that this happened. I think this is ridiculous.
Ash.
This is the trashiest of trash that I've ever heard. Listen, LPGA, if you want no credibility or if you want to just let everyone chime in, on every single game, then do that. But you can't just have one fool call you up and say, hey, actually, she put the ball in a different spot. And then all of a sudden be like, all right, you're right, sir. We're going to go about this because it definitely was a sir. Gemma, you're exactly right. And also, is it your first day of watching golf? Because everyone puts it back in a slightly different spot. That's just the way it goes. I mean, was hers just big enough to where they needed to, like, penalize her for it? I mean, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe
it didn't
two
seem like it to me. And
forward.
She moved it back. She didn't move it forward. So she was almost making it a little bit worse for herself. I mean, it's just all so silly and embarrassing for golf altogether. I would be so embarrassed. But at the same time, if basketball or baseball or football let me do this, I would be so happy because I'd be calling in every single day. Being like, that was not a foul, and you know it. I looked at it very closely with my replay on my television, and
right.
You need to take that back and play this game over again. So if everyone's going to let us do it, then that's great. But you can't just have one fool do it. That's not right. I
Maybe
hated it.
It was like a really important golf fan. Maybe it was like, maybe it was like, like Dick Cheney. He was just like, I'm retired now. I'm watching golf. He calls and he's like, excuse me, I am former vice president.
I mean, listen, like, if they're going to, Ash, like you said, if they're going to do it in golf, you better do it in football. Do you know what I mean? The ball is never in the right spot when the refs pick up what. And first of all, every football player moves it farther forward, and then the refs have to figure out between where they think it was and where it was. So, I mean.
Yeah.
You know, no one, I don't know. I think that the fact that they allowed, like, Joe Schmo to affect this is embarrassing.
So embarrassing.
You know
Tiger
what?
Woods even spoke out about it. What's up, Ash?
What one thing that was great about this whole thing, there was one little tiny silver lining, is that when she tweeted that, you know, this is the way the sport goes, you know, her very, like, classy tweet, I looked at all the comments for, like, I mean, probably a solid 10 minutes, and every single one was so nice and just about how big of a class act she was about the whole thing and how she's now all like little girls' idols and how just impressionable that was and how great she was and how strong she was for being just like a stand-up human being.
Great.
And I mean, I think the only slightly rude thing I saw was like, yeah, it sucks that you moved the ball. You know what I mean? So that was it. It everything was just so nice on Twitter. When has that happened before?
Surprising.
In the
yeah.
history of Twitter. Never. It was nice.
Awesome.
I did like seeing that.
I'm glad you pointed that out. That is
yeah.
a nice silver lining. And obviously, you shouldn't do it on purpose. Like, you
yeah.
know. Ugh. Okay. Well, I'm glad we can all agree on that moment. So now we're going to get to some quick hits because a lot of other things happen in sports. So let's start with the NHL. They will not participate in the 2018 Olympics, even though Alex Ovechkin's like, hey, I'm still going to play. Any burning thoughts on this?
I mean, it just sucks. I don't know if I should try this or trash this, not because I'm going either way. I just don't know what the right thing to say is. It sucks that they're not going to get paid to do this, and they need the money. I mean, then they deserve it. These are, I mean, do they? I don't know. Actually, you know what? To be 100% honest, I don't know where I stand right now.
She's in the middle
I'm taking
somewhere.
It all back, guys. I'm confused. I really don't know. It just sucks that they're in this position.
I think that we are going to see kind of in the next couple of years, there's going to be a lot of discussion about various international sporting events and who will go to them and how they will be carried out. So it's kind of hard to know where things really are. Like what, because I think that we've talked about it in this podcast a lot, in a lot of ways, like how moral and ethical are these international sporting events, which is not necessarily the NHL's rationale. Like, we all know that. But the other question is, like, as we continue to get close to these international sporting tournaments, I think there are going to be a lot of discussions around it. Like, should these superstars participate in them?
Yeah.
I don't really want to comment too much on hockey's ability to, like, maintain interest in their sport because let me just say, I was a really big hockey fan growing up.
Right?
And
yes,
then when that lockout happened in the mid-2000s, it really did change how much I watched hockey.
I was
just like, bye.
Right.
So
yeah.
I think
Good
that
point.
That's definitely going to be an effect on this sport. But also, like, there is the opposite effect of saying, like, maybe it will affect this sporting event that is generally known to be pretty, like, pretty much like a swamp of ethical quandaries.
Yeah,
so there's a lot going on there.
Yeah. I'm trashing it. I think that when you miss out on opportunities like that, you miss out on a chance to grow your sport or influence a kid who didn't think he could play, or give guys a chance to play outside the United States or do something that's different. So I'm trashing. Critics are all over Steph Curry for averaging 5 less points this season. Just 5. 5 fewer points. Personally, I think that the media, I mean, I've probably done this before. You drum up a little story because there's nothing else to talk about or there's no good drama or you need a headline or you need clicks or eyeballs or whatever. But, I mean, 5 fewer points, like, come on, guys. Do we have anything else to talk about? Like,
obviously not.
Let's talk about the paint drying on the wall, you know? What else?
Ash? My God. I'm going to trash this, obviously. I wonder, guys, let's think about this for a second. What do you think it's like to complain so much all the time that you have to complain on both sides just to keep up with appearances? Because that's what these people are doing right now. It is truly remarkable how much they complain all the time. In the beginning of the season, they were like, I bet no one's going to be able to score. Like, their average is going to drop, and it's going to be great, and I can't wait to see that, you know, or complain about whatever. And then all of a sudden now, Steph's average dropped 5 points. Oh, my God, who cares, 5 points? And then people are freaking out about it. It's like, what did you ever want? What did you expect right now? What did you want to see? You wanted it either to be 20 or, like, increase 5? I don't know. Like, it's so silly. It's just ridiculous right now. But at the same time, it doesn't matter. They're just, like you said, Danny, it's basically just trying to talk about something because nothing else is going on. I guess they don't want to talk about the Celtics. This one's for Urena. They don't want to talk about the Celtics right now and their rise. They don't want to talk about the Cavs kind of falling right now. They just got to talk about Steph and his average. That's fine. Whatever. They're still going to win. So shut up. Everyone shut up.
I feel like it's just as useful as, like, raging against time itself, you know? Like, no one can be perfectly consistent forever and ever and ever and ever. Also, it's 5 points. Like,
yeah.
Just find something else to talk about.
I mean, if people, like, got on my back about averaging less than 5 points, if my job was scored by points, I would be pretty pissed. Okay, moving on. We're still waiting on Nicole Auerbach's bold prediction of Mr. Roy Williams retiring after, obviously, UNC won. So I'm waiting till the end of this week, maybe early next week. I'm interested to see. Adam Wainwright threw the ball into the ground. It was sad and maybe a little embarrassing. Obviously, he had reasons for it. I don't even think it needs to be trended or trashed because I think...
Because you're from St. Louis.
Because we've all, at some point, thrown a ball into the ground. And I feel
I will
bad
say,
for him.
If he was... I mean, I do believe him, but if he was making an excuse with his quote, that's the most impressive excuse I've ever heard in my entire life.
At
first I went in thinking like, oh, let's hear this. This is going to be rich. And I was like, I'm convinced. Okay, good job. It was very impressive.
Any thoughts on it, Gemma?
I mean, yeah, we've seen worse pitches.
We've seen worse,
you know?
ceremonial first pitches.
50 cents.
You don't
50
necessarily
cent.
Want to compare a professional Major League Baseball
I'm just
player
trying to, get the
to somebody who throws ceremonial first pitches. Well, you know, we've seen worse by people who've never been paid a dime to play baseball.
I'm trying to just take the heat off him, move it back to 50 Cent, which I always love to move it back to him.
Always.
Speaking of 50 Cent, did you see David Ross on Dancing with the Stars?
Of course, Candy Shop.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, it was terrifying. I completely agreed with Rizzo. I was like, whatever his tweet was, it was like he was speechless and a little bit horrified. I was like, yeah, that's exactly how I felt.
I thought it was great.
The
looked
abs
like he was having so
terrifying.
Much fun. The fake abs were hilarious.
Oh my God.
He really sold it.
Lord.
He really, like, his facial expressions, he got so into it. I loved it.
Oh, God.
All right, we're going to wrap up for Rena. We're going to wrap up on a Boston moment here. Trend or trash, Andrew Benintendi earning Rookie of the Year and MVP.
Rena.
I
don't know what to say.
That's a pretty big ask, I would say. That's a pretty big
you know what? I'd give
deal.
Him one, but not the other.
Which
yeah,
one?
Yeah, I'm going to give him Rookie of the Year.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Come on. Like, Mike Trout's not going to win MVP.
I mean, yeah, there's no one. It's MVP should be thrown away right now or just renamed the Mike Trout Award.
Sorry,
I
you
mean,
play in the AL? On. You're not going to be MVP.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Try other awards. That's it.
All right. Well, I'm going to, you know, for Rena, I'm going to trend Andrew Benintendi having the best season of his career.
Ever. Of anyone.
I don't know about both awards, but I think the kid's got something magical going on. And Red Sox Nation should feel lucky to have him on their team. Okay, so that's going to do it for this week. I mean, baseball's back, so there's that. Ash, you are doing a lot of cool stuff out at Dodger Stadium. Anything cool coming up that we need to know about?
I mean, I'm just, like, flying along, and it seems like once a week someone's like, hey, do this, do this. So, yes, but I couldn't tell you just yet. You know what I mean?
Be flying by the seat of your pants.
I am working on some EWCs right now, which is our show Express Written Consent, where we speak to a ton of celebrities who are promoting things that are going on, upcoming things, projects and such, at Dodger Stadium, while they talk about a little bit of baseball, a little bit about the project. So those will be coming every Friday.
Awesome.
Soon. So look out for that. They're very exciting. We speak to Tony Hale, which I was very excited about. You know him as Buster from Arrested Development.
Cool.
And also from Beep. So, yeah, it was very exciting. He's very funny. So be sure to check that out.
Awesome. Gemma, what's in the pipeline?
Oh, man. Well, there's a lot of stuff from last week that is cool, even though it's not really like opening day stuff.
Yeah.
But on the Cup Forecast last week, we talked to Isla Borders, who was amazing. She was the first woman to get a baseball scholarship college, and she pitched in professional baseball, independent league, but professional baseball.
Whatever.
And she just wrote a book called Making My Pitch, and it's great. It's a great book. It's very emotionally jarring, though, so if you do read it, get ready.
Okay.
And we talked forever, and she was amazing. So
awesome.
that was just like a really interesting and great conversation. And she's doing a Trailblazers event for MLB this spring, which is for girls playing baseball, specifically baseball, and she's going to be a pitching coach.
Oh, very cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. So when I talked to Jenny Finch, it was like a month ago now. Jenny will be at that Trailblazers event.
Yeah, they know each other. Yeah. I learned in the book they like know each other from the same town.
So yeah, it's 100 girls baseball, girls only baseball tournament out in California. So Ash, you should try to go to that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah. and Sports on Earth, Mr. Will Leach, one of our favorites, he and myself and one other are heading to Detroit this weekend, D-Town, to watch.
Don't call
no
it
one
that.
Calls it that.
No one calls it that.
Dang
Didn't
it.
Invite me to go. My shirt says Detroit. I'm literally wearing a shirt that says Detroit right now.
Doesn't mean you get to go to
and
Detroit.
I didn't get invited to go to my own home city.
Anyway,
of
he's starting a new series. It's called The Sports Tourist. We're going to head to the last game at Joe Louis, the last game at the Palace, and a Tigers game, and figure out what fans are really like in Detroit, where they like to eat, how they cheer on their teams, and all that good stuff.
I swear to God, if you guys go to American Coney Island instead of Lafayette Coney Island, you're all dead to me.
All right. Well, noted. Yeah. On that note, hopefully we'll be back next week to talk to you guys, but if not, you'll know why. All right, that does it for Walk It Off. I'm Danny Wexelman with Gemma Konecko and Ashley Chavez, and we'll talk to you next time.
Now the 2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back.